Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're plunging into a Supreme Court case from 1985, Lindell v. Office of Personnel Management.
Yeah, Lindell, it's a really foundational decision, isn't it? Especially for grasping how courts, well, keep an eye on federal administrative decisions.
Exactly, particularly when those decisions involve disability claims. We've got a detailed case brief, a standard legal brief, and even some interesting perspectives from a fictional podcast that looked at this case.
Oh, interesting. Multiple angles.
Right. And our mission today is pretty straightforward. Extract the core insights, you know, especially for understanding administrative law and the crucial role of judicial review in these federal disability disputes.
It's a fascinating area, really, where you see the rights of individuals bumping up against the need for, well, efficient government operations. Lindell really helps draw some of those lines.
Absolutely. And the story, the person at the heart of this, is Wayne Lindell. He was a civilian security guard, worked at a naval shipyard.
Right.
And over his time there, he was exposed to various chemical irritants. By 1979, this led to severe bronchitis, so severe the Navy medically retired him.
So retirement, but then the question of ongoing support.
Precisely. He applied for a disability annuity under the Civil Service Retirement Act, the CSRA. But the Office of Personnel Management, OPM, they turned him down.
Uh-huh. On what grounds?
They argued his disability just wasn't severe enough to prevent him from doing his job, basically.
Okay. And that's where the administrative process really kicks into gear, right?
You got it. Lindell took his case next to the Merit Systems Protection Board, the MSPB.
And what happened there?
The MSPB sided with OPM. They essentially said Lindell hadn't adequately proven how severe his disability was. And importantly, they put the burden of proof squarely on him.
Which can be a really high bar for an individual claimant.
Definitely. So, feeling this was just unfair, Lindell took his fight to the courts. And that, well, that sets the stage for this central legal battle we're going to unpack.
Which really boils down to a fundamental question about court power, doesn't it? How much can they actually review these agency decisions?
Exactly. The main legal question in Lindell hinges on this very specific bit of law, 5 U.S.C. Section 834-7C.
Ah, the statutory text.
Right. Congress put this section in place to govern how OPM makes these disability decisions. And the key phrase, the one causing all the debate, is final and conclusive.
Final and conclusive. Sounds pretty airtight on first reading. Like, that's it. No appeals.
It does, yeah. Suggests a very limited role, maybe even no role for the courts. But, you know, in law, things are rarely that simple.
True enough. So the court had to figure out what Congress really meant.
Okay, let's dive into that. The Supreme Court had to decide. Did final and conclusive mean no court could ever look at these OPM decisions? Or did it just mean courts couldn't second-guess OPM's factual findings, like the medical specifics?
And this is where that big principle comes in, right? The presumption of judicial review.
Exactly. It's a fundamental starting point for the court. There's this very strong legal presumption that Congress generally intends for administrative actions to be reviewable by courts. Unless Congress explicitly says otherwise, really clearly.
It's a check, isn't it? A check on agency power ensures they don't operate in a total vacuum.
Right. So the court wasn't just going to take final and conclusive at face value without considering this broader principle. Justice Brennan, writing for the majority, really wrestled with this.
And what did Brennan conclude?
He concluded that Section 8347C only prevents courts from reviewing the factual basis of OPM's decision. So things like, you know, was Lindell's bronchitis factually severe enough under the rules? That part, the court said, stays with the agency.
But, and this is the crucial part, they carved out exceptions.
Huge exceptions. Brennan said if OPM or the MSPB made legal errors, say, they misinterpreted the CSRA itself, or if there were major procedural flaws like denying a fair hearing.
Then the courts could step in.
And review those specific legal or procedural issues. It's a key distinction. Facts versus law and procedure.
And how did Brennan justify this reading? It seems like quite a step away from final and conclusive.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. He leaned heavily on an older case, Scroggins v. United States.
Scroggins, from before 1980, right?
Exactly. Scroggins had already established a standard allowing for some limited review in these disability cases, specifically for, quote, errors going to the heart of the administrative determination.
Okay, so there was precedent.
Right. And Brennan's argument essentially was this. When Congress amended Section 8347 back in 1980, they knew about the Scroggins standard. They were aware of how courts were already interpreting this area.
And since they didn't explicitly overturn Scroggins in the 1980 amendments,
the majority inferred that Congress implicitly accepted it. They basically incorporated the Scroggins standard of limited review into the amended law, even without spelling it out again.
That's a significant interpretive move, relying on congressional awareness and, well, silence.
It really is.
Yeah.
It suggests that sometimes what Congress doesn't say when revising a law can be just as important as what it does say, especially if courts have already spoken on the issue. But not everyone on the court bought that argument.
No. There was a dissent, wasn't there, Justice White?
There was. Justice White had a very different take. He penned the dissent, arguing the text of Section 3347C was, in his view, unambiguous. Crystal clear.
Final and conclusive means final and conclusive. End of story.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
He essentially accused the majority of, well, inventing ambiguity by digging into legislative history. He thought they were using the backstory of the law to override the plain meaning of the actual words Congress chose.
Which really throws that classic interpretive clash into sharp relief, doesn't it? Textualism versus purposivism.
Absolutely. White's dissent is very textualist, stick to the words on the page. Brennan's majority opinion is more purposive, look at the text, yes, but also the history, the context, the overall goal of the legislative scheme.
And Lindell is just a perfect example of how those different philosophies can lead judges to completely different conclusions about something as fundamental as whether a court can even hear a case.
Right. Okay, let's shift gears slightly.
Yeah.
There's this jurisdictional piece, too. Lindell initially sued in the Court of Claims, but then this other law, the Federal Courts Improvement Act, the FCIA of 1982, came along, and that meant his case got transferred to the Federal Circuit Court. Why does that procedural shuffle matter?
Ah, the FCIA. That was a really big deal for the federal court system. A major aim was efficiency. Specifically, it tried to centralize appeals from bodies like the MSPB into this newly created federal circuit court.
Why centralize?
Well, the idea, according to the legislative history, was to avoid wasteful duplicative review. You didn't want the same legal question about, say, the CSRA being decided differently by the Ninth Circuit versus the Second Circuit versus the Fifth Circuit.
That could get messy. Conflicting rulings all over the place.
Exactly. The goal was uniformity and efficiency. And the Supreme Court in Lindell actually linked this FCIA goal back to the original purpose of the Civil Service Reform Act itself.
How so?
The CSRA was also about creating a more streamlined, unified system for handling federal employment disputes. So the court saw channeling these MSPB appeals to the federal circuit as fitting perfectly with that broader goal. It prevented what they called a bizarre jurisdictional patchwork.
Makes sense. So the jurisdiction wasn't just some random detail. It tied into the whole structure Congress was trying to build.
Precisely. It was about ensuring consistency and efficiency. The court saw the federal circuit as the right place for these appeals. But, and this is key, even though the federal circuit was the place for review, the scope of that review was still limited by how the majority interpreted Section 8347C. Jurisdiction and scope are two different things.
Okay, so let's try and nail down the big takeaways from Lindell for, say, a law student trying to get a handle on administrative law. What are the absolute must-know principles here?
Okay, three big ones, I'd say. First, it powerfully reinforces that presumption of judicial review we talked about. Courts assume they can review agency actions unless Congress makes it unmistakably clear they can't. It's the default setting.
Check one. Presumption of review.
Second, it really drives home that crucial distinction between unreviewable factual findings and reviewable legal or procedural errors. Agencies get deference on the facts, their area of expertise, but courts keep the power to ensure they follow the law and fair procedures.
Check two, fact versus law procedure distinction.
And third, Lindell shows how vital it is to look at the whole statutory picture. You can't just read one phrase in isolation. The court here looked at the CSRA and the FCIA together to figure out Congress's overall intent regarding review of these OPM disability decisions. Context matters.
Check three. Statutory context is key.
Yeah.
Got it. So what actually happened to Wayne Lindell in the end? Did he get his annuity after all this?
Well, the Supreme Court's decision wasn't the final word on his actual disability claim. It wasn't like they said, okay, OPM, you were wrong, give him the money.
Ah.
What they did was reverse the Federal Circuit's dismissal of his case. So Lindell basically won the right to continue his fight. He could go back to the Federal Circuit and argue his specific points about legal or procedural errors by the MSPB.
But the factual question was his bronchitis severe enough? That stayed decided.
That stayed decided by the agency, yes. The courts wouldn't reopen the factual determination based on the Lindell ruling. So he won the battle over judicial review, but the war over his specific benefits still had to be fought on those narrower legal and procedural grounds. It really shows how long these things can take.
Yeah, it definitely underscores the complexity. So Lindell really stands as this great illustration of statutory interpretation in action. It's not just about looking up words in a dictionary.
Not at all. You see the court using multiple tools, the text itself, obviously, but also legislative history, even though its use was controversial, as the dissent showed, and the overall structure and purpose of related laws like the CSRA and FCIA.
The majority seemed to weigh that legislative intent pretty heavily, trying to find a balance.
Exactly. Balancing the need for administrative finality so decisions don't just get endlessly relitigated with ensuring basic legal correctness and fairness for the individual claimant. The dissent, meanwhile, prioritized sticking strictly to the text.
And for law students listening, Lindell just hammers home how vital it is to understand how courts read statutes. It's not just memorizing rules. It's about grasping the methods, the arguments, the different judicial philosophies at play.
Absolutely. Because even seemingly straightforward statutory language can spark intense debate, and how that debate gets resolved has huge real-world consequences for people interacting with government agencies.
So, wrapping up our deep dive here, the core holding of Lindell boils down to this. OPM's factual disability findings, mostly final. But the courts absolutely retain a vital role ensuring legal rules were followed and the process was fair.
Right. It's that ongoing tension. Administrative efficiency versus individual rights protected by judicial oversight. The case confirms the strong presumption favoring review, but also clarifies that finality clauses, while limiting review of facts, don't necessarily shut the courthouse doors entirely when it comes to legal or procedural mistakes.
Okay, let's leave our listeners with a final thought. Considering the balance Lindell struck limiting review of facts, but allowing review of law and procedure, how does that actually play out for individuals seeking federal disability benefits today? What are the real-world advantages or disadvantages of this specific limited scope of judicial review? Something to mull over.